Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Hillel, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagair, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semen, the son of Josech, the son of Jodah, the son of Johanan, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kozam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Methah, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God.
Good morning, folks. I'm back with you after 8 or 9 days leave. I had a pretty wild holiday in my home. I was doing jigsaws and I did a bit of a half-hearted spring clean of my kitchen. But the good news is that actually it's great to be back. I'm delighted to be back. I've come back with lots of energy and life. I've been well rested, and that's probably the first time since this pandemic started I can say that I've returned to you after a break feeling, yeah, I've had a good rest. So that's really good for me anyway, and for you, I think, too. And given the announcement that I made just a little bit earlier in the service, that's a good thing indeed. God is already providing for us, you know, and we have in recent weeks got the additions to the leadership team set up and in place. They've now met together. God is gently and graciously providing us with just what we need for this season. So it was a quietish break for me. Apart from one thing, I had an earworm just about the entire time. I don't know if you know what an earworm is. I guess most of you do. It's where a line of a song takes root in your head and it just goes round and round and round in your brain. Mine came from a postman called Nathan, who lives in Airdrie. And I guess some of you will now know what I'm talking about. But I had a sea shanty, a line from a sea shanty in my ear. And I'm not going to share a clip with you, otherwise it's all you're going to remember from this service. But let me just say that it wasn't a week of deep theological thinking. Instead, I was thinking about soon may the weller man come. Yeah, that's so it's been a relaxing week. But halfway through the week, I had a quick check to see about today's passage. And I'm going to admit, I was pretty horrified to discover it was Jesus' family tree, his genealogy. And thank you to Jeremy for reading that for us. It's not one that many people volunteer to read, but I knew I could rely on you. So thank you. I confess that I wished I'd allocate that passage to Shona or to Andy. And so after repenting of that thought, I was left mulling over this family tree. And amid thoughts of sugar and tea and rum, words from the song shanty. So Can you tell that I might have actually been struggling just seeking God's message for us today, given what I had going round in my mind in my week off? But actually, the only thought that God really brought me to was of rowing boats, and the fact that it was a boat is maybe no surprise given the sea shanty. We used to have one when I was a small child. It was called the Sea Urchin, and I remember it very fondly. But what I was thinking about is they're an odd design, aren't they? When you row, you have your back to the direction you're travelling. And that's a strange way to travel. Just imagine if your driver's seat in the car looked out the back window rather than the front. And in a rowboat, you're looking at water that has already been passed over, that has already been sailed over. And you are looking into the past. And as I mulled over this thought, I wonder if we might look at Jesus' family tree as this, the events, as if they are events in our past. You know, and as we move through uncharted waters, which is undoubtedly what seems to be the case for the way ahead, how, I wondered, could our past encourage us, reassure us that actually God is with us in this boat? Can we look into the past, the names that are listed in this list, and reassure ourselves that we might not know exactly where we are headed, but looking at the lives of those gone before might remind us that God is in control? We may feel we have been blindsided, but there are no surprises to God, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, who never takes a week off. And so I returned from a break thinking I would somehow use a boat metaphor in today's sermon. And on Thursday, a Wednesday probably, I'm not sure which, Scott Brennan, who I know some of you'll know well, posted about a 5th century Irish saint, Brendan the Navigator, who set off in a boat made with animal skins, a leather boat, looking for the Holy Land. He had no idea where he was going. I really am not sure why he was known as Brendan the Navigator, but he didn't know where he was going. He was going into an unknown future. He was trusting God all the time as he set off into uncharted waters, into this unknown future. And he was trusting God and being excited about the possibilities that lie ahead. And as I was reading that about Brendan the Navigator, I got excited and thinking, yeah, that's right. God has got this. God knows where he wants White Inch Church. He knows who he has lined up for all the ministries that he wants us to join him in. And let's face it, we know that God is already at work in White Inch. We want to find out how we can join him. There is a line in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How about we set about helping God make his will be done in White Inch as it is in heaven? Let's see what we can do to make God's kingdom come in White Inch as it is in heaven. But we're almost a year now into this pandemic. Do you know, we're in a vacancy, and although that's now nearly 18 months long, it looks like it might be going a different direction than we anticipated. So for today, with this passage, let's imagine that we are in our rowboat, looking into the past, looking at that great cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12, that great group of saints who've gone before us. They cheer us on. Let's see how today's list of names in Jesus' family line can encourage us into, as we head into unknown waters with the pandemic, with the vacancy situation. I want to start by reminding us that Luke is this credible, cautious, and thorough historian. And he has written this gospel, which he describes in the opening as an orderly account, only after careful investigation. And Luke, as like Matthew, has chosen as part of this orderly account to provide us with a genealogy. Now, Matthew's list is a list for Jews. It goes back as far as Abraham, the list, the start of God's chosen people. And there's a difference between the two lists, one in Matthew, one in Luke. And there's been much speculation that one maybe is Joseph's line, traced in two ways, Matthew having the natural line and the other Luke tracing the royal line. Other theologians suggest that one is Mary's line and the other is Joseph's line. The truth is, we don't know. But you know what? This is a pretty unique family line. Luke is speaking of a virgin birth. Our passage today started with Jeremy reading, Jesus was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. We have no information as to how a genealogy would be constructed when there's no human father. This case is unique. There are enough names in common that through the years, theologians have been satisfied that both Matthew and Luke are accurate. Both genealogies stress the humanity of Jesus. He was a real man. In a time of Greek and Roman demigods and phantoms, this emphasizes he was truly one of us. To save humanity, to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, Jesus became, in the most real sense, a human. Matthew stops at Abraham, but Luke continues right back to Adam. To Matthew, Jesus was the Messiah for the Jews. To Luke, he was the Messiah of all peoples, because his line is traced back not to the founder of the Jewish nation, but to the founder of the human race. Luke removes the national, the racial boundaries, even from the ancestry of Jesus. And here today in White Inch, he invites us by our words and our deeds to do the same. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Matthew starts his gospel with the family tree. Luke places it between Jesus' baptism and his being sent into the wilderness for 40 days. Luke's placement here is no accident, because by including it here, Luke is answering the question, is Jesus qualified to be God's promised son? There are some names, key names in Luke's list that he wants to show us Jesus' connection to. David, Abraham, Adam in particular. And each of those names reveals more to us of who Jesus is and his qualification to be named Son of God, Messiah. David establishes Jesus' right as the royal heir of the king, royal heir, king of Israel, Son of God, Son of David. Abraham sees Jesus as one of the chosen people, linking him to the promises made to Israel and to the hope of Israel. Jesus is a Jew. And Adam, the first named, allows Jesus to be linked to all humanity, the hope of creation. Jesus, this Jesus who leads us, who directs our path, whether it is on land or on water, this Jesus who leads us into uncharted territory, this Son of God is both the hope of the Old Testament, our Messiah, and the hope of all creation. Yes, indeed, yes, Jesus qualifies as Messiah, the hope of the world. My friends, we are in safe hands. And actually, as I reflected on that genealogy and the list of names, and I reflect on this Jesus, my earworm has thankfully faded, and it's been instead replaced by the words from the song Oceans. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Let's look back at Jesus' family. There are significant historical figures in there. David, Abraham, Noah, Adam, names that we know, and we know stories about them as well. And there are others of whom we know something, Boaz, Judah, Jesse, Isaac, Shem, and others. In these lists, there are some who have walked steadily with God, and some whose walk was decidedly shaky. But they're all in there. They're all included, regardless of the dodgy past. And as well, there's some reassurance, I think, that there are in that list some who remain unknown to us. No one knows what good or bad things they did, and yet God used them. They're included in Jesus' family tree. And it might felt like a boring list of names, although I think to listen to Jeremy Reed, you could never call it boring. But you know what? If you have a mystery, a ministry, and it's invisible to just about everyone, wouldn't you want your name to be known by God? If it was your son, your uncle, your brother, wouldn't you want them remembered and their name read out? Regardless of the size of our ministries, big or small, visible or invisible, they are known to God. You are seen by God. To quote Alan McWilliam, blessed are the scone makers, another addition to the Beatitudes. All work for the kingdom is kingdom work, and it is important. It is recognised by God, even if humans never see it. And so, in our rowboat, looking back, we're encouraged that God uses all sorts, kings and queens, paupers and everyone in between. Those firm in faith and those rather wobbly, the Lord has a place for us all. I want to very briefly land on two names and read what the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 says about them. Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned of things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Holy fear, there's something that would be really interesting to unpack in another sermon. But for now, in building that ark, Noah was certainly in uncharted waters. He trusted that God knew what he was doing, even though it must have seemed odd, chaotic even, to Noah and his family. Noah trusted God in the unknown. My friends, you and I can do the same. And very later, in verse 8, we read Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham obeyed and went. And we can do the same, even if we aren't quite sure where we're going. In looking back at the lives of people in Jesus' line, God speaks to us today. The future is uncertain, but he's got this. We may not know the next port that our rowboat will pull into, but God does. In a week, where we have received news that we didn't expect, God has given us this family tree to reassure us that this news is no surprise to him. And I don't know about you, but that excites me, and I begin to feel a thrill of hope. God is up to something in all of this. Let's end by looking to the start of Hebrews 12 for what we should do now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That list, that great list of men of God in Jesus' family, they surround us, they cheer us on. And what must we do? We must fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer. I'd never noticed that word in there before. Well, I must have, but it came to me yesterday. He is the pioneer. Jesus is the pioneer, the one who forges ahead and takes new ground. All we are called to do is to fix our eyes on him and follow. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, and we're going to insert the name White Inch and put that in place of the word earth. So we'll say together, in White Inch as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in White Inch as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.